2021 at Universal Studios at Universal Orlando Resort.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Smart Clock Podcast is back once again. It doesn't bother me. I'm sure it bothers a lot of the 15-year-old marks on Twitter and Facebook.
Well, how about a Y2J telling you to shut the hell up?
34 Boulevard Road. I don't know where I am. I'm so lost and afraid and alone. You can see Vince's greasy little fingerprints all over this segment.
This has turned into nothing more than a handicap match!
I don't respect you, Dexter, and I intend to beat you.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to part one of Weekend Universe, where we discuss Red Brand, WWE Raw. I am your host, Amir Osnani, and joining me as ever is our glorious West Country host, Steve Neal.
Hello, mate. How are you doing? Apologies in advance for my voice. I roared at Liam Gallagher until I was hoarse. So, in fact, I don't apologise. Fuck you all. Listen to it. Tough shit.
Yes. Listen to Liam Gallagher, you ingrates. Yeah. Steve Neal was on the smash. I was not on the smash, courtesy of a rather massive letdown of a weekend. Please see Twitter for further details. Are you ready to discuss Raw, sir?
Oh, yeah.
Because I'm the Miz, and I'm awesome! You won't give me the competition I want, and I'll just get it myself.
My name is Paul.
This is my yard now.
Raw kicks off with Samoa Joe barking at Roman Reigns to get down here. This takes an absolutely incomparable amount of time. Ridiculous. Like, first of all, Seth Rollins is that backstage, and he's like, hey, Dean, can you believe this shit? And he's like, like Beavis and Butthead. And then he goes, go and get Roman, go and get him. Like, oh, okay, so Dean's the bitch now, apparently, because he hasn't got anything else to do. Samoa Joe runs down the whole shield. Roman Reigns comes down eventually after an astronomical age, and then gets jumped basically by Joe and the bar. And then she'll get the shit kicked out of him. And this leads to numerous moments in the night. Samoa Joe takes on Dean Ambrose. Roman Reigns defends his IC title against Cesaro. And of course, Sheamus has a pretty, pretty, pretty good match with Seth Rollins, actually. I thought out of the frame that was the best match. But yeah, your thoughts on the whole Shield versus Bar and Joe dynamic. And probably the crowning jewel of this was the retaining of the Intercontinental Championship by Roman Reigns against Cesaro.
I thought this is how you're supposed to kind of do a Raw to a certain extent, in terms of the fact of what you do in your opening segment then feeds the rest of your show. So you had all these interactions, and that then feeds the fact that we've got this, the peel-off, spin-off matches through the course of the rest of the night. And good wrestling as well. There were three good matches, as you'd expect, with the talent involved. It was another Raw where, by and large, and particularly because of these three matches, the wrestling quality was pretty good. Samoa Joe is just an absolute legend. But again, it's one of those where you're asking, why is he having... It seems he's having to improvise towards the end of the promo. He's like, why is he not here? How long does it take you to get your ass out of the back? It's like Roman Reigns having a bath somewhere, doesn't realise the show's starting. He's still scrubbing his testicles. It's ridiculous. Get your ass to the ring, man. Unprofessionalism.
Oh,
yes. It really did take an age. In the end, Samoa Joe's like, yeah, and everyone else, you all suck too. So, you know, I'm just standing here and waiting, so I'm an assassin and stuff. Do you remember when I was in TNA? Remember that? It was insane. Other than that, it was very good. And then, of course, we get the odd little caveat with my black son, Jason Jordan, deciding he should be the one to destroy Samoa Joe and getting a bit cross with Daddy, but Daddy won't give him what he wants. So he sits on top of the ramp and watches the Joe Ambrose match, then decides he's going to come down and interfere. And then accidentally on purpose, costs Dean Ambrose the match, presumably heading into some kind of Dean Ambrose, Jason Jordan dynamic. I actually quite like that, though, because I quite like this very slow, quite subtle heel turn. WWE, a lot of the time, like during the Attitude Era then, WWF and WCW, everything, any heel turn, anything like that, had to be some immediate impactful event because you needed the viewers. It's all about, shit, we need the audience for next week, so we need something to happen to make them tune in. Now, because they've got a very safe and comfortable contract with the USA Network and they've got the WWE Network and subscriptions are pretty healthy, they can actually realize they can play things out and treat it more like a soap opera with their writing. So they can do slower, more cerebral storytelling, which I actually quite enjoy if it's done well. And Jason Jordan, I think, is actually doing a pretty solid job. I have to say, I've not been his biggest fan. I don't think he's the most charismatic guy, but you're now putting him into an angle and a character where I think he seems to have more faith and more confidence in the gimmick. And he's working with better talent. Rather than running around with Elias throwing lettuce, he's now working with Samoa Joe and Dean Ambrose and Roman Reigns and, you know, the top guys. So it does sort of work in a weird way. And yeah, the Cesaro-Roman Reigns match was a good, solid match, as you'd expect. What I like to see, and we saw it in the Sheamus-Rollins match as well, is working of a body part. We mentioned it a few times. It doesn't happen enough. We saw it in the Jason Jordan-Roman Reigns match as well. Just, it's such a simple thing to see in a wrestling match. Just go after a body part, target it, and work on that body part through the match and use that as your central storytelling gimmick for that match. And they did it in both of those matches, and it worked really, really well. And the idea of the fact of, let's be honest, Roman Reigns has got three moves, and in all of them, he needs his right arm. If you take that away from him, he's not going to mount a huge amount of offense. It's actually very clever. Cesaro's class, and this was an example where Roman Reigns can sell very well when he's given the opportunity to do it. I thought he did very well, actually. I thought it was a good, solid match. I agree, Sheamus and Rollins was probably match of the night, to be fair. But I enjoyed the breakoff. I enjoyed the fact the opening segment sets up, and then we go on to have three very good, solid matches. And a little bit of, you know, carny bullshit with Jason Jordan running around interfering as well, feeding into other storylines. It worked well. Came together nicely, this Raw.
It was an equilibrium, which is very nice. I remember being taught in our media degree when we did media writing about the whole idea of an equilibrium. You know, here's your bar with your storyline on it, and then you can differentiate and move about as you please, but make sure you have that central theme. And that's kind of what Raw did very well this week. The Cesaro-Roman Reigns match, it's going to upset people. I didn't like it. Not because I didn't think it was that bad a wrestling match. I actually thought Cesaro was tremendous. This match was very much a match that screamed, please fucking use him more. Because every time he goes out there with Big Star, we saw it when he wrestled John Cena, when he wrestled Roman Reigns originally, when he wrestled numerous members of the Shield, when he was just pissing about having matches with Dolph Ziggler and Sheamus and Randy Orton, and he fought in throwaway contests, having great matches all the time, woefully underused. Maybe they don't see his gimmick or his charisma, so to speak, coming through that well. That's not really his fault. You have to give people something decent for them to begin to eat. You know, if you want people to eat at your table, then you have to support them with a dinner. It's as simple as that. And as far as the match went, Roman Reigns sells fantastically well and then utterly forgets all moments of selling. I didn't like the one moment that absolutely infuriated me is his usual kind of like, look at me, four of hammer, drive my fist into the floor moment. He's had literally 10 to 15 minutes of Cesaro battering the shit out of his arm and his hand and everything. And then he goes, and punches. It doesn't even flinch. And you're like, fuck off. That right there is exactly what will alienate you from a core audience of wrestling fans. We also had moments where he persisted on using the Superman punch. I would have loved it. Someone should have directed him, said, use your left arm. Use your left arm instead of your right. It would have popped me like crazy. I would have been like, holy shit, look at that psychology. It was the little things that let down a large match. And that's why I felt Sheamus and Sheamus and Seth Rollins was absolute classic. Two guys who know how to work, who are professionals, who are veterans of their industry. Roman Reigns and Cesaro is an excellent match with a lot of flaws, simply because Roman Reigns is out of his depth when it comes to wrestling on a level, psychologically or technically, with someone like a Cesaro. And that's not necessarily a bad thing, but you have to make sure you keep up your end of the bargain. There were little things he could have done. If he didn't do the punch to the floor, if he'd used his other arm for the Superman punch, if he'd speared with the other arm, these all would have made this one of the better matches Raw has seen all year. And instead, it just ends up flopping around as a good contest with a lot of holes in it. I was very disappointed in that. But the equilibrium of the show shouldn't be detracted from. It was excellent. I enjoyed the Shield versus Barr and Joe dynamic. For me, with The Miz gone, Samoa Joe is the MVP of this show by a country mile. I think, particularly with Braun Strowman languishing around, pissing about with Kane, which we'll discuss in a moment, I just feel like Samoa Joe, everything he's doing right now is excellent. Great storytelling. I kind of felt bad for him a little bit. Like you say, it was ridiculous. The opening of the show, he delivered all his promo content fine. And then all of a sudden it's like, okay, now we've got to stand here and wait for two or three very audibly long minutes. And Joe's kind of walking around thinking, right, well, I'm going to have to start running through other members of the Shield. Maybe they missed the cue, or maybe Roman wasn't good to go, or... I don't understand why Roman needs to come over to the Shield first and watch him some more before he believes, yeah, fuck it, maybe I'll go out now. It's almost like a case of, hey, I'm a star, you'll wait for me, but that is not good on a TV product. That's fine if you're in a real-life fighting situation like UFC or boxing. This is a predetermined choreographed show. This is a soap opera. It's not a case of, if you're watching some pile of shit like EastEnders, you can't sit there and go, where's Danny Dyer's character? Oh, well, because he gets paid more than you fuckers, he's going to wait 3 minutes before he comes to the bar. So in the meantime, watch 3 minutes of people chatting in the pub. No, that's not how this works. Get your ass to the fucking ring. Get on with it. You know, it's 3 hours long. I do not need more delays than possible. You know, it just felt like you were dragging it out. But yeah, overall, I'm enjoying the sort of equilibrium, as I've said many a time about this, but obviously this is going to end with the Shield versus Joe and the Bar. When that will be, I do not know. Hopefully Royal Rumble, that would be a nice little sort of opening match, or a nice undercard match to go with some of the other matches. Speaking of Royal Rumble, the winner of Kane and Braun Strowman would get a shot at Brock Lesnar. What do you do? Where the fuck is he? At the Royal Rumble. But of course, WWE likes a fuck finish, and this show ended with these two battering each other and Braun eventually getting the upper hand and putting Kane through a table in what was frankly a lackluster moment. Yeah, simply put, when you've put somebody for a fucking ring, a table bump or a cheap shit steel stairs moment, that's not going to cut it. This should have been blown off ages ago. They've been dragging this out. I'm not interested. And a fuck finish and a double count out does not help matters. So we're either going to get a triple threat match at the Rumble or yet another match between Braun and Kane before we get to the Rumble. Oh, please save me now. Your thoughts on the entire rivalry and the fact that we still don't have a resolution to this rivalry at all?
Yeah, I just don't understand why about, you know, 2, 3, 4 weeks ago, we didn't have the gimmick, the inevitable gimmick match between Strowman and Kane that would finish it, allow Strowman to run over, you know, maybe run over a Finn Balor or have some kind of meaningful feud with someone like Finn Balor before going on to the Royal Rumble. Because that's going to have the crowd far more engaged and at least gives a talent with a future something to do rather than Kane, who's a talent with a past. I have a lot of respect for Kane. He was one of my favourite wrestlers in sort of 2000, 2001. I've always had a soft spot for Kane. And, you know, the fact that he's running for political office and is still being put through rings and tables says a lot about his mentality. I can respect that. I don't need to see him, though, especially not every week. I don't mind him being, you know, rolled out every now and then, on a special occasion, for a specific purpose. I still think that in a short, very short stint, he can put someone like a Braun Strowman over. I'm not saying he has no use in the business, but his career is certainly winding down to a natural close. I don't need to see Kane for 6, 7, 8 weeks straight, every single Raw, in a feud with the same person with still no resolution to that feud at all. This is going back to TLC. It's a long time for a feud to run. You know, we're going into, well, presumably quite close to the Royal Rumble before we have a resolution. I can see this being a Christmas Day Raw gimmick match. It's probably going to be like mince pie on a pole or some shit. Nativity scene on a pole where they have to dress up as Mary Christ. And Joseph and beat each other down. Something along those lines. This should have been a casket match or an ambulance match, a buried alive match, a dumpster match, considering they use a dump truck at TLC. Would have been utterly perfect to do within 2 weeks. And instead, we've just had nonsense. So, yeah, it's frustrating. And it is quite scary to think, with Vince being Vince, we could, in 2018 at the Royal Rumble, one of your big four shows of the year, see Kane in the main event for the Universal title against Brock Lesnar in what was, you know, a legitimate title match of 2002. 16 years ago, I'd be sitting there going, oh, so exciting for that. Now, it's like a nightmare scenario. Two part-timers going at it for the top prize in the game. Now, I'm sure it will be Braun Strowman, but at the same time, couldn't Braun Brock be a WrestleMania main event? For certainly one of them for the Universal title, and have that feel legitimate and organic with the rise of Braun Strowman this year. So to throw it away and blow it at the Royal Rumble, to me, says we're definitely not going to see it at WrestleMania. And again, pushes the likelihood of Roman Reigns being in that spot. I don't know. I just find it a bit meh. I find it frustrating, to be honest. I'm not looking forward to that as an event. We've seen it before. It underwhelmed, and there's nothing that makes me think it's going to be any better the second time. And I don't think the result will be any different either. I cannot see Braun Strowman going into WrestleMania as the Universal Champion for the main event. I can't see him going in as the face of the company at this WrestleMania. I think it would be a year too soon in Vince's eyes.
They've panicked here. They thought, oh shit, we haven't got anyone left to face Lesnar until the inevitable Roman Reigns versus Lesnar collision at Mania. So, you know, Finn Balor could have had a quick blow-off match at the Royal Rumble, but the rumours are that he's not over, which is what has led to these hysterical internet shenanigans. So who do you look at? I mean, you've got Samoa Joe. He's already had a shot at Brock Lesnar. Roman Reigns has had many shots, so you're obviously going to wait until Mania for that inevitable blow-off. It just almost feels so inevitable. I'm actually surprised they didn't think, Triple H, that seems like a good idea.
I haven't seen that in a while.
Yeah, I know. We might be getting Triple H. Well, I don't know what's happened to the Triple H Braun Strowman dynamic. Maybe we're getting that at Mania, in which case, fuck you all. I do not want to see that either. I have no interest in seeing Triple H wrestle on this product whatsoever.
Did you see Triple H buried, well, not buried, yeah, but beat Jinder in India?
He buried him.
Why?
And it's like, brown people are going to watch my son bury another brown man. Fuck you. Just so bullshit.
He's not going to be
Payne
put in.
Is whacking off furiously. Listen, this fuck you, Nick Payne. And this appalling fucking mo. How? I'm sorry, Captain. Oh,
this is ridiculous.
You know, he said to me on Twitter, didn't he? I don't know if you saw it. He was like, that's surprising. Yeah. Triple H normally puts people over. Does he fuck? All these idiots and ingrates are like, Triple H is going to take over the company. It's going to be amazing. It's going to be like NXT every week. Is it? Fuck.
No, he'll be champion.
Yeah, providing you're not brown or anything to do with the rest of the fucking company. Bullshit.
He'll be champion.
Although, yeah,
he'll take
absolutely.
Over, book himself as champion. He will win the Royal Rumble, even though he's champion.
It might be. The biggest thing on the internet right now is Triple H is going to take over from Vince and he's going to make this company great again. You're fucking idiots if you think that, because he's going to have his wife alongside him, Stephanie McMahon Helmsley, who will likely own the majority of this company, not Triple H. And do you think she is going to allow him to just basically let NXT guys run around roughshod and basically we're going to have Velveteen Dream versus Aleister Black at the main event of Mania, you are sorely mistaken. Massively mistaken. Mm. Get your heads out of the clouds. It's utter nonsense. But yeah, like, I going back to the point, Braun Strowman...
Sorry, yeah.
Yeah, sorry. I mean, Braun Strowman versus... That shows you how shit Braun Strowman versus Kane is. I don't care. I don't give a fuck about Kane. I, like you, respect Kane immensely. I thought Team Hell No was one of the great, great parts of his career and his resurrection of his career. I never thought at that stage, 2012 and 2013, that Kane would be so funny and so relevant and so exciting with Daniel Bryan. But him and Daniel Bryan were magnificent together. They were main event stars. They even tagged with The Undertaker against The Shield. That, for me, should have signaled the beginning and the end, and instead we're just going right back to it with the mayor of Knox County. I give zero fucks. The crowd don't care about Kane, but they do care about Braun Strowman. But if you continue down this line, they will literally lose patience. Wrestling fans are far more fickle than they used to be. They don't just swallow any old crap, and they will just be like, nah, you're right. We don't care about Braun Strowman anymore. He was absolutely... He had a rocket strapped to him, and he really was absolutely on a collision course for the main event status. And then you just took it away from him with a shit, gassed out 6-minute match with a crappy Brock Lesnar, who is a shade, a pale shade of who he used to be. It's pathetic. And I want to see this rivalry over with. I want to see Braun Strowman as champion. That's not going to happen. So it's just feed the most logical person to Brock Lesnar at the Royal Rumble. Paul Heyman even said on Twitter this week, the most logical explanation would be for Brock Lesnar to defend his title against all 30 people in the Rumble. I was like, do that then. Fucking do that. That's far more interesting to me than seeing Braun Strowman job out to Brock Lesnar again, or to see, I mean, I would be excited about Braun versus Brock, but I've seen the first match. It was a pile of shit. And that's Brock's fault, not Braun's fault, because Braun is a goddamn cardio tank. So I've got no issues whatsoever. And I fully believe Braun Strowman can carry a match off of anyone. I've seen him have a top quality match with Kalisto this year, and I've also seen him have a top quality match with Brock Lesnar. What does that tell you about the man's talent, particularly considering his size? But yeah, no, fuck this rivalry is basically all I have to say about that. So cruiserweights had a small but prominent position on this card. I don't know if you have any interest in talking about Rich Swann being a naughty, naughty boy.
He's a naughty, naughty boy.
All I'd like to say is that Rich Swann's hair died well before his career did, so I wouldn't worry about that. Yeah, so Rich Swann, unfortunately, was arrested for suspected alleged battery, assault, and false imprisonment involving his wife, who is also a professional wrestler on the indie circuit. I don't really feel the need to gossip and that. If you want to find out the details and whatnot, you can go and search for them. It's as simple as that. That's what dirt sheets are there for. We're not a dirt sheet, we're a podcast. As far as Rich Swann goes, he's currently suspended, and frankly, there is no reason to believe why he shouldn't be. However, this does open up a hole in the cruiserweight division, and that hole was filled very nicely by the other black guy, as Vince McMahon probably thinks, Cedric Alexander, who won an excellent Fatal 4-Way. Once again, the cruiserweights putting on a fantastic show. Alexander and Ali, of course, were superb in this match. And Drew Gulak, very funny, very amusing on commentary. And it will be Drew Gulak versus Cedric Alexander next week on Raw for a shot at Enzo and the cruiserweight title. Speaking of which, Enzo Amore had numerous moments where he was thinking about Nia Jax. There was this rather funny bit backstage where Drew Gulak's like, what you just said Nia Jax. He's like, no, I didn't issue it. Oh, I get it. And he's like, oh shit, he's gonna work out I fancy her. And then all of a sudden, Drew Gulak's like, you want me to be ready for any opponent, even if she's Nia Jax. Good on you, boss. And he walks out like, bless you, Drew, for bringing some amusement to this shocking decision to have Nia Jax fancy Enzo, which frankly, I'm not buying. I have the feeling that she's gonna end this by beating the shit out of him. Or maybe she's gonna bring in another male wrestler as a foil for Enzo and his gang. I don't really know what they're doing, but Drew Gulak is saving everything. And I really liked it when Nia was like backstage and she went up to both of them and said, hi, Drew, I really like your PowerPoint presentations. And Enzo Amore, who was about to utterly berate him, was like, yes, informant. Brilliant. That's what I was going to say. I love your PowerPoint presentations, because he's a pathetic suck up and he's desperate for a piece of Nia Jax. Are you curious at all about a love angle between Nia Jackson and Zoe Morey? The fact that this somehow was more interesting or more important than Cedric Alexander becoming the final piece for the number one contenders match next week doesn't speak well to 205 Live, which is a shame because actually the wrestling's great and Drew Gulak is one of the funniest people on the roster. But your thoughts on 205 Live in general and the love angle?
Well, 205 Live is an irrelevance because all of these prominent matches and moments happen on Raw. They don't happen on 205 Live. So that show has become entirely redundant. There is no reason why, considering this is a last-minute change, this match couldn't have happened on 205 Live. None. At all. Completely and utterly bullshit, as far as I'm concerned. Great match, but it would have been a great match on 205 Live. If you want eyeballs on your product, then you need to actually put something on there for the eyeballs to see and enjoy so they will come back to it, rather than saying, well, I've seen the actual relevant title stuff on Raw. What the hell am I watching 205 Live for? It's not like there's a secondary title on 205 Live to be interested in. As for the love angle, I think it's an attempt to maybe change Nia Jax's character a little bit and just try and humanize her maybe, because she's been this monstrous... Yeah, she's this monster assassin, you know, who doesn't talk much because she doesn't need to. Her actions speak far louder than words ever could. And that's all good. That's a perfectly legitimate character. But obviously there's a longevity question. Plus, now that she's on Total Divas and she's gaining a lot of popularity and traction, I've noticed, on Twitter because of that, because she's someone who's very naturally very funny and charismatic. Obviously, her podcast appearances as well in recent months have really put her over as a personality. And her wrestling persona hasn't really had much personality. It's just been, I'm big and I'm quite angry and I'll smash you in the teeth. I think what they're trying to do is actually bring out some of that natural personality, charisma and humour. It's a bit odd that they're using Enzo Amore as the other side of that. But I understand, generally speaking, what they're trying to do. And I don't necessarily think it's a bad theory. Using Enzo is a... I don't know, it's a bit weird. Does Enzo really need the coverage? Because he's already a champion of the Purple brand. He's already the name. He's still on Raw every week in a pretty prominent position. You know, he's emerging on the mic as one of the best heels in the company, top five probably, in the last 3 months, which is disgusting, quite frankly, is a slight on the rest of the roster rather than praise for Enzo Amore. I don't know, I think this is all about trying to make Nia seem a little bit more human and try and use some of her natural humor and charisma. And I'm all for that because I actually, you know, I think she's a very engaging personality and it'll be a good thing to see more of that on the product. And character development is always a good thing, providing it's done well. It's one of those things that WWE sometimes do brilliantly, better than anyone. But when they get it wrong, oh, they get it very wrong. They can get it very wrong. So I'm intrigued for Nia. I don't really care about Enzo Amore. And as for 205 Live, as I say, why don't they just do what WCW always did and just say, this is the cruiserweight portion of Raw. It's a 3-hour show. You could just give an hour of those free to the cruiserweights, have it be the 205 Live hour at the start of the show, and for the subsequent 2 hours to just be a bog standard Monday Night Raw. So you're condensing down the heavyweight portion, if you like, of your brand, your women, tag teams, everything into 2 hours, which would make it a more enjoyable show, and the first hour to be your cruiserweight. So you're in that prime time slot. Because at the moment, the TV program's buried and you're further burying it anyway. I don't know. There's just odd. There's odd booking going on at the moment. And 205 Live's really suffering because of it.
About 3 weeks ago, we had a Week in Universe Part 2 with myself and Dexter Christian, where we discussed how can you save 205 Live. And one of the very first things I said was, get it away from SmackDown Live. Don't have it air after SmackDown Live. Have it air before Raw and have Raw condensed down to 2 hours. That was exactly my point, was to... replay the WCW format, give an hour of their 3-hour stint to the cruiserweights and then play into the 2 hours that you need. Because there was plenty on this show that didn't really need to be over the stretch of 3 hours. You got Elias singing on the rooftop, which I found quite amusing just because he rinsed the fucking Cleveland Browns and said that LeBron would leave again. Nice, simple, but effective heel fare. I'd love to know what At I Love Cleve 2164 as a Cleveland native. He was probably loving it and also spitting fury at the same time. You had Absolution essentially come good. It's almost like someone had been listening to you ranting about the fact they were running away from Asuka, so they squared up to Asuka this week, and then the entire women's roster shooed them away and beat the crap out of them, which for me does absolutely nothing for the mystique of Absolution, who already for me looked dead in the water. Also, you absolutely spunked the opportunity to have Nia Jax come down and be the saving grace of the women's roster. You know, you could have had Absolution run through and then Nia Jax music hits, crazy pop as she comes down and physically dominates these three women who up until now have had the lay of the land. So I felt like this failed miserably, this segment. Also, Mandy Rose swanning down like a Greek goddess, like while the other two are like, big fucking fighting machines, just looks very awkward and weird. I don't get it. They're supposed to be a trio. They're supposed to be a unit like the Shield, and they could not look any less interested in each other, really. They all look so separated. And yeah, I'm not buying it. I'm not feeling it. But we are women's wrestling fans. Did you have anything to add about Raw overall, including the women's stuff, mate, before we get into interactions?
Yeah, I thought it was, I think Absolution's a bit awkward and clunky, isn't it? It's a bit reminiscent of like the welcoming committee a few months ago on SmackDown.
Oh, God, yeah.
Where it's just a case of all of you are just now together and like that's it. And why? But we don't really like each other, but we don't know each other in the ring. Out you go. Go on. Out you go. It doesn't really make any sense. I completely agree with the missed opportunity with Nia Jax to the point where all the women had run down. By the way, how fucking quick is Sasha Banks? Jesus Christ.
Yeah, fucking hell.
She's 100 meters sprinting away from everyone else. Jesus Christ. Usain Bolt. But it was just literally an afterthought on commentary of Michael Cole being like, oh, and Nia Jax is here too. It's like,
yeah, that pissed me right off.
What are you talking about? It should just be a case of, oh my God, Nia Jax is here. Not a, Nia Jax is about. I'm sure I saw her knocking around earlier. She was in catering because you know what she is, Michael? She's fat. Ha ha ha.
Jesus Christ.
It is. That's just even stupid.
Yeah, spot on.
Just sitting in the, it's just, she should be built up as to, oh my God, she's in there. How can these free, diminutive women possibly escape? And then when she, I did enjoy her absolutely flattening Mandy Rose, to be fair. That was, yeah, quite satisfying. Amusing. Literally just eat boob, you fucking bitch. Eat it. it's a strange angle. It does feel like it's going to run its course quite quickly and burn out quite quickly. It's a vehicle to bring Paige back in and to bring these girls up from NXT. Not too sure it's worked out too well. I don't think we'll be seeing them much beyond the Royal Rumble. I think this is just, you know, a vehicle to have them tickle along into the Royal Rumble, a bit of dissension between the three of them and Paige to kind of emerge from the fold, maybe against someone like Asuka going into the Royal Rumble. So, you know, if it does that and achieves its purpose, then great. But I do hope they move on from it quickly because it's a bit orcs.
It really is. It really is. And as far as I'm concerned, when it comes to Sonya Deville and Mandy Rose, send them back. Send it back. They're no use to you here. Absolutely no use to you. And this is just, oh God. Like, you know, when your destroyer, Nia Jax, who is a beautiful and unique looking woman, and your stunning goddess of a champion, Alexa Bliss, are afterthoughts in this, that's not good for me. They should be front and center. They should be absolutely the spine of this division and what makes it so good. You know, the fact that they're two best friends, the fact that one is so opposite from the other as well, that shows diversity and interest in your roster. And you're not playing up to that whatsoever because you're too busy going, look at Paige, look how hot she is. Look at her friends who can't wrestle for shit. I don't care. I really don't care. I've lost total interest in this. At least with the Riott Squad, Ruby Riott, I find her intriguing and I just laugh at Sarah Logan. Your daddy taught me about lizards and shit. I find some sort of relative humor in it, but this sums up Raw. There's great quality there, but it's just not, they don't act upon it properly. You know, why are people like Mickie James and Sasha Banks and Bayley not wrestling at all? And if they are, why are they in these throwaway six women tag matches like this one, which frankly lasted, what, 2-3 minutes at most? It was embarrassing. You know, this was a device so that, oh, look, Mandy Rose got a win because Mandy Rose can wrestle, right? You know that Mandy Rose, that really hot girl over there? Yeah, like her. Please like her.
For God's sake, like her. I brought her up for that reason because she's got giant tits.
It's one of those sort of reasons. It's just, it's dumb. I have lost a lot of faith in women's wrestling, on Raw in particular, lately, with all this schmozzy stuff. They were building great storylines with great wrestlers, great one-on-one matches. I enjoyed the story between Alexa Bliss and Mickie James, this, you know, young, brash, arrogant champion who, you know, thought she was the absolute goddess of the division, and this beautiful but stalwarted veteran that was Mickie James. You know, there were great stories here, and I feel like they've been shoved aside just so that we can all wank ourselves silly over the return of Paige. And frankly, I think it's been a bit of a bust so far. Just get Paige away from them, get her back as this, you know, vicious, almost tweener kind of assassin in a women's division. Have a knockout thunderous match with Asuka and move the fuck on. But yeah, Raw this week. I did enjoy Raw, to be honest. Not like massively. It was fine. It was middle of the road, as you said before we started things. You know, it ticked a lot of boxes, but once again, we're left with a lot of gaps. It's so hard to really enjoy this product week to week because they give you such a varying degree of interest. Some weeks, they knock it out of the park, like last week, and then this week, they're just a bit meh. Next week will probably be dog shit again, and then the next week will be a 4-star affair. You just don't know what you're getting from week to week. And because it's so subjective, and because we only enjoy certain facets more than we do others, even though we do tend to cover the whole thing and we try and be as generous as possible with our opinions, I just feel that there's only, at the very most, 2/3 of this show I take a serious interest in, and the rest of it is just crap that I could quite happily filter through. And that's exactly why things like these highlight videos on YouTube exist, because people simply don't have the time to watch 3 to 3¼ hours of this nonsense. It's a little bit too much for me. I thought Raw this week was serviceable, but lackluster effort, really, in a lot of ways. You know, it's fun in places and boring in others. I give it 2.5 stars. I thought it was very middle of the road. 2.5 genders.
Yeah, I went 3 genders. It was kind of average, but the wrestling quality, I think, in the three, you know, what I felt for me were the central matches involving the Shield guys, Joe and the Bar, were the sort of saving grace of the show, really. In a lot of ways, I thought the main event, as we've said, was poor. The women's stuff was okay, but let itself down. The potential's there, the ingredients are there, and it just didn't quite work. And it was just small details that Raw was off with, I think, this week. The Cruiserweight match as well was great, but it's just small details that Raw is off with, rather than huge cavernous things. So for me, it was a 3-star affair, 3 genders.
Yeah, before we wrap it up, though, we will take it to the listeners who have plenty of interactions, as per always. You've had our opinions, now it's time for yours. So let's delve into the interesting interactions that you guys have sent us, and dive straight into our Twitter DMs. We love it when you slide up in our DMs, you filthy badgers. Now then, let's start with at It's Only Rachel, seeing as you're top of the list. Fantastic way to open Raw with an angry Joe on the mic. The thought of a TV-14 feud with Ambrose and Joe. I'll just leave you to think about that one. I have zero interest in Dean Ambrose versus Samoa Joe, to be honest. I have thought about it.
It was a decent match.
It was all right. I think she's highlighting the idea of these two going a bit more hardcore with things, but I just don't see WWE. Yeah, it's not happening. You're going to get PG forever. Both Mandy and Sonya are great in the ring, but mic work is an obvious factor of improvement. It really pisses me off, though, when fans can see a star is struggling with promos and they still watch on them. Yeah, watch arts are fucking divisive and dumb. I don't think they're that great in the ring, to be honest. Sonya Deville has a slight upside as an MMA fighter, but she needs somebody like Shayna Baszler to complement that more so than a Sasha Banks or a Mickie James or a Bayley. As for Mandy Rose, she's stunning to look at. She looks like she was created in a lab, frankly, but her offense seems quite limited, and she shows very little in the way of charisma when she's wrestling in ring for me. Anything to add to that, bud?
No, I completely agree with you.
We didn't mention it, but Awoken Matt had another random... Basically, it was a repeat of last promo, essentially. Yes! Matt and Bray, yeah. Love the Matt-Bray angle again. Not as much as last week, and maybe this should be the last time they do the backstage back and forth again. Totally agree with that. But this feud is great. So far, and expectations grow higher and higher. I'm excited about it, but at the same time, I don't want to see repeat performances. The content was exactly the same as last week. I also don't like the Woken thing that they put in with the broken glass. Yeah, that graphic. That's disjointed. What that does is it's really shit. That's like something I would make on a PowerPoint presentation, insert Drew Gulak joke. And the reality is it just doesn't... What it does is it makes it more disjointed. So instead of going straight to Matt Hardy like you did last week, all of a sudden it's like, oh, look at this. It's no, I don't like that. Why do we need that?
It made it...
What does that graphic serve?
Yeah, it made it a bit more, you know, they're supposed to be supernatural entities. And doing this kind of like staticky exchange between shots last week really just sort of added to that. It was obvious that you'd do that. That's what you'd see in it. Imagine watching like a supernatural movie where someone, like some spirit, some poltergeist starts infecting the TV, but it comes on with a graphic. Poltergeist, yes. Shit.
Never watch it. I did not like it at all. Finn versus Axel, because who the fuck cares about the first ever Universal Champion? Am I right? This man needs his good brothers and badly. My God, please use the bar or send them back to the Indies so that people like me can go and watch them in great halls and enjoy their quality wrestling. You fucktards. Seth versus Sheamus was rather weird to watch with his neck injury reports all over the place. A few unnecessary moves he did, but it just makes you really appreciate how brilliant and underrated Sheamus has always been. Couldn't agree more. Yeah, there's been a lot of rumours that he's apparently suffering with the same kind of neck problems that Edge had, and that he'll be calling it a day very soon. You wouldn't have thought so, though, because he was bumping like a lunatic in this match. So I'm hoping that they are just bullshit and maybe he's just got an exacerbated injury and needs a little bit of time to relax. But if this is the end of Sheamus's career, I speak for a lot of people when I say it's actually quite a sad way to watch him go after such a massively, massively underrated career and a massively underrated wrestler, frankly. What else we got here? Would have cared a lot more about this show and the Cruiserweight match if it was a decent crowd. Terrible crowd last night with worse commentary apart from Drew. Yeah, commentary wasn't great. Drew was very funny in a way. He kept deflecting Michael Cole. He was like, that's a very good question, Michael Cole. No, I'm not going to answer it at all. And he'd just carry on talking about something completely different. And then Michael's like, you didn't answer my question. No, he's like, shut your face. It's fucking brilliant. I love the politician style of Drew Gulak. Roma versus Cesaro, a true Raw classic. Just another example of how brilliant Cesaro is. Massive, massively overrated opinion, if you ask me there. True Raw classic? Really? That sounds a little bit too hype for me. Not even close to a classic. Not even close. Although I do agree with the fact that it does show off Cesaro and his qualities. Asuka and Absolution to me felt very messed up, although I love the 30 seconds of Asuka and Paige. Felt weird to see Alexa act like a babyface doing a run-in, and I was there when she's too busy Netflix and chilling with Enzo. Creative really isn't ready for Asuka. Yeah. And pretty much what we covered. They really need to have an advance of the Jordan story. Oh, God, I think that's just a haunting, haunting image. They really need to hurry up. I'd rather see Drew Gulak and Nia Jax in a love angle. I think that'd be hysterical. Oh, I'd love it
if that's what it ends up being.
Drew Gulak. I really want it to be that she actually loves Drew Gulak because he's the nice guy of the two, and Drew Gulak ends up turning face out of their Cruiserweight title rivalry, and she costs Enzo the title. And it's just him and Drew Gulak. He's like, I love you, Drewzy Woozy. He's like, I love you too. Here's my PowerPoint on it. It'd be fucking superb. But yeah, we're probably just going to get Rat Face Knacker has sex with larger woman because that's what makes money around here. God damn it. They really need to hurry up and advance Jordan's story. Spoiled brat this week. Yeah, that's kind of his deal, but I actually think he's doing quite a good job with it. I liked him backstage. He's like, oh, I'll see you soon, Dad. Or should I say Kurt? He's got such a whingy little voice. And I kind of find him entertaining and amusing in a way, but he's like, nah, my knees, nah. It's so funny. It just, I want to see more comedic angles where we go full Home Alone with it and the whole WWE roster turns up at a show and they forgot Jason Jordan and left him in the last arena and he's just sitting there by himself. Hello? Hello? I'm still here to wrestle. I can wrestle, please. Like, shut your mouth and get out of this building, you fucking ingrate. And then he has to somehow find his way back to the next arena for a snowstorm. Use him, God damn it.
Just him, Macaulay Culkin. That's outstanding. Yeah.
Sitting there crying. Kane and Braun was okay. Don't mind the double count out as it likely goes to a triple threat where Kane can take the pin, leaving Braun strong and not lose to Lesnar twice. That's kind of... Yeah, I don't want to see that match. I'm sorry, I don't want to see Kane in a title match. No.
I don't want to see that match at all. Like, I don't want to see any of those three interacting in any form of wrestling anything, quite frankly, unless they're waving at each other on a bus as they pass. Like, I don't want to see them wrestling each other at all.
Here's a good question from an I like this sort of stuff. Sort of B show, more crowd involvement and much better commentary is needed. Couldn't agree more, but that's up to WWE to provide them with a product to get excited about, I suppose. Out of curiosity, how would you both have put Lesnar's Rumble opponent? Can be any superstar, not just Braun and Kane. Get your fantasy booking hat on, mate. What have you got for us?
Fantasy booking wise, I'd like to see Cesaro in there getting an opportunity at the top dog, and I just think with his kind of strength, someone who's able to actually muscle Brock around, but in a very safe way, because Cesaro is a very safe worker. I think that could be actually a really good match. But the one thing that we know Brock likes to work with is smaller guys who are going to do all of the running while he hits a few power moves, as we saw with AJ Styles at Survivor Series. So a Finn Balor, in that sense, actually would work and can have a decent match. I'm a big Cesaro fan, so I'd love to see Cesaro in that spot, but I do think Finn Balor would put another good match out of Brock Lesnar. Can you imagine two good Brock Lesnar matches in a row? What?
Jesus Christ! Yeah, smaller guys tend to work better with Lesnar because they can sell like crazy for him. Although I like the Braun Strowman dynamic, Lesnar's just... It annoys me. He's not the biggest guy on the roster, Lesnar. So stop acting like he is. Like, even in his match with Strowman, he worked from a higher position. It wasn't, you know, the whole thing was built as he could get dominated by Braun Strowman, and he spent the whole match basically walloping Braun Strowman around, and it was just shit. It was just crap. Braun Strowman had like a minute of offense, and it was like meh. And it went about 8 minutes. It was a pile of shit. It was easily Braun Strowman's worst match. What does that say about Brock Lesnar when you think who Braun Strowman has wrestled? Fantasy booking. I can't see past Cesaro, to be honest. Cesaro and Lesnar was very much a dream match for me early on, before Lesnar became a wheezing pile of shit. I had a very big lob on for the concept of Cesaro versus Brock Lesnar in a proper full-on technical match. But yeah, I can't really look past your fantasy booking in that respect. Maybe... I wouldn't mind maybe as a bit of comedy and awoken Matt Hardy if he can be built to the levels that TNA got him to. If you can get him up there, I do like the idea of him freaking Brock Lesnar out, because him and Heyman are just not used to manned games and all that kind of shit. There's a few guys there, but I think if you're looking at it from an aspect of somebody who can legitimately go over him and get a great match out of him, I can't look past Cesaro. I absolutely cannot. Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose are, you know, the kind of insert guy here when you need a decent challenger who may not necessarily win, so they probably get half decent matches out of him. Although Dean Ambrose failed at Mania with Lesnar, it wasn't a great match. That was a street fight as well, which didn't help matters. I don't know. This is the problem when you have someone with Lesnar who frankly has proven to be a pretty poor worker. Who do you now put in the ring with him who will, you know, get a good match out of him and excite the crowd enough and really build up to it? I'd like to see Samoa Joe get another crack at it, and I'd like to see Samoa Joe pass him out, tap him out and choke him out. I think that would be incredible. That was, for me, the right guy to have take the belt off of him and hoof Lesnar elsewhere, or just not have him in the company anymore if he's getting bored of collecting large amounts of money while he's sitting on his fat ass at home doing sweet fuck all. But, yeah. They obviously want to pull the trigger with Braun. Braun seems like a great natural progression for a champion, but I would actually much rather see... Do you know what? I would be very excited about Braun versus Roman Reigns as the main event of Mania, because I've seen what these guys can do, and I feel like we've had enough time in between that. It's just not the ideal main event. It's more a case of I'd rather see that than Reigns versus Lesnar, just because fuck Lesnar.
Yeah.
At this point. But yeah. Thank you for the question, though. It's always nice to be asked things like that. We don't really get to flex our minds too much when it comes to stuff like that. Most of our interactions are just that, interactions and opinions. There's not really too many questions. So thank you very much, Rachel, for your stellar opinions. At Carl Russell, dude, has sent in an essay. Marvelous stuff. Samoa Joe is so fucking good at everything he does. The mic work at the start of the show was top-notch. The ensuing brawl was also pretty good. Yes, it was. The women's tag match was okay. Mandy is still green as fuck, but overall, it was all right. No, it wasn't. The broken mat stuff is slowly sucking me in. The promos are hilarious and well done. I didn't think it was that funny, to be honest, this week. I just hope the eventual matches is good. P.S. Anyone who listens to 10 hours of Matt laughing is either brave, stupid, or drunk. Maybe a combination of the three. Who's listening to 10 hours of that? How people poor are. Is your life that you... Yeah,
I know. On
YouTube for you. Like, the, oh, by the way, that...
Baked off their tits.
Have you seen the YouTube video of the laughing track that's been changed with his voice for, I think it's, oh, that nerd show. I've got Big Bang Theory, I think it is, but it's got his laughing track. That's not actually funny. It's not funny at all. But people are like, ah, it's hilarious, because instead of ha, 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 you've got ha, 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 yes. But the problem is, it's like, I'm sorry, it's not funny. It's not even clever. Like, I could have done that in 5 minutes on my laptop. You are not impressive. How dare you gain money and YouTube views off of your miserable lack of talent? Fuck you. Finn Balor has beat the Miz Taraj. Good for him, I guess. Why is he doing this and not in the title picture? Please answer me now. Because Vince McMahon doesn't like small Irish people, that's why. They'll get back in line and enjoy while I fucking tell you not enjoy.
One thing I didn't like is the fact that Curtis Axel took his neck brace off for this match. I want him to keep it
on. No, he needs to be full Bob Orton with that shit and never lose his neck brace again. Although
Bo Dallas delicately putting it back on at the end. Oh, of the match should go was for the long haul.
That's who should be Brock Lesnar. Go figure. So Curtis Axel, like, I'm gonna challenge Lesnar, and Lesnar's like, ha, you're a wimp, I'm gonna murder you. Doesn't even put any effort in, and then the final reveal, Axel just goes stone faced evil and takes off the neck brace, and Lesnar's like, what? And he's like, I was building up all along, and he fucking murders Lesnar and wins the title. Holy shit balls. Unleash the axle on the world. You know you want to. Rollins and Sheamus had a great match. That superplex Falcon Arrow combination makes me extremely aroused. I've heard some things that Sheamus has a similar neck injury to Austin and Edge. Hopefully he stops before there's more damage. Yeah, great match. Like I said, I thought it was the match of the night. The second chance, Cruiserweight Fatal 4-Way, was fantastic, as most Cruiserweight matches are. The right guy definitely won in Alexander, but the highlight was Gabba Gulak on guest commentary. He's just so good. So, so, so good. Yes, he fucking is. Anybody who doesn't like Drew Gulak, kiss my ass. You are dead inside. Reigns versus Cesaro. What a match. Cesaro is a top-tier talent, and Roman is solid too. This match was match of the night for me. Cesaro also loves Canada, by the way. Right here. Sharpshooters and crossfaces. Classic cool. Canada. Fair enough. Absolution attacking Asuka was meh. Yes, it was. The whole women's locker room coming out to fight them off was meh. At least we got to see Nia just crush Rose. Yeah, that was, just basically like Steve said. That was eat my boob. Samoa Joe and Dean Ambrose put on a great show too. Imagine if these two could have a TV-14 match. Joe is a monster. Ahem. So, one of you obviously tweeted about this and the other has decided to steal the other's opinion. I call bullshit here. Now, I am...
Look at them sitting on each other's faces.
Yeah, I know.
Pillow talk. Just, a little bit of pillow talk going on.
Jesus, what a fucking pair you two are. Come on, did you honestly think both of you were going to get away with that nonsense? Right,
you can imagine it now, sitting there like, I'm sorry, what did you say? Let me just get off your face. Oh, it's just I was thinking about like Samoa Joe and Dean Ambrose having a TV-14 match.
Oh my God, that's exactly my opinion. I'm going to use that too. Let me write that down.
I was thinking that too. Oh my God, we should 69 more often. It's incredible.
If I open this up and I find anyone else has got TV-14 match there, then I am calling bullshit and I'm going to suspect an orgy involved. Not, no, absolutely not acceptable.
Orgy, small talk.
One of one of you is going to apologize for this blatant theft. I'll find out which one of you it is, and I'm willing to bet it's Kyle, the cheeky shit. Speaking of monsters, what did Kane do to be involved in a potential world title feud? What is this, 1999? No. And another lame-ass finish. Yeah. Braun deserves more. The only reason I'm okay with it is if it becomes a triple threat and Kane eats the pin for Royal Rumble, then goes away for a... We are fucking on it here, aren't we?
Dirty talk has changed since my day.
What worries me, though, is that Rachel sent her opinions in after Kyle, and that she doesn't strike me as the submissive type. She is very much the woman with the strap on. So,
pegging him to death.
Pegging the Wilkinson. You hear that, Kyle? You're going to get pegged to death. And then when that's all finished, I'm going to give you what I promised you earlier on Periscope, a good backhanding in fucking glorious Canada, right underneath the Rockies, you snowy slut. You are in serious trouble for this nonsense. I know it's you. You've stolen something. Either you've stolen or you've just, somehow you are able to translate the muffled screams of ecstasy while you're being ridden.
What sex thing is not being done properly in this scenario?
It really is. At ILoveClay216, the champ is here. So nice to see someone who's not Stephanie McMahon or Kurt Angle kick off Raw. As much as I love The Shield, that was a great segment. And yes, those were Roman Reigns chants you heard in my hometown. Hounds of Justice, bitches. Oh, fuck you. You are... You and your fucking Shield obsession. You're almost as bad as Nick Stain and his Triple H infections. Oh, my God. Get over it. That Rollins-Sheamus match, wrestling at its finest, fantastic match. Yes, it fucking was. See? He knows better than Cesaro versus Roman. Fuck you. Drew Gulak is just brilliant with a microphone and a megaphone, I'll have you know. Taking the politician's route to dodging Cole's questioning was just hilarious. Thank you! This is why he's the champ. Because he comes up with his own opinions, Kyle. Damn, the Cesaro-Roman match was even better. God damn, Cesaro can work, and God damn, can Roman sell. Yeah, there's no question there. It's the subtle fucking mistakes that he made, which bugged me out no end. Textbook working a limb. Brilliant match. next. On my black son. You won't give me the competition I want. I'll go watch it on a folding chair by myself. That is one of the best interactions I've ever gotten. I love that. I actually want to see next on my black son. And they actually have like the... And all the fucking... the American sitcom graphics, all of it. And then there's just Jason Jordan. It's like... Wah, wah, wah. Fucking brilliant stuff. Those were succinct and fun interactions. Well done, sir. And we left one of our better ones till last. At CM Smiley Babby Boo. Well, it's at Smiley Babby Boo. We will continue to call you CM Smiley as a Chicago native. So WWE is just going to hype up this big match with Kane and Braun just to have it end in a fucking double count out, but let them continue trying to kill each other. Nope. Fair enough. I love when she gets mad. Bray Wyatt and Matt Hardy promos were borderline cringy. Having them try to outlaugh each other, it was good last week. This week, not so much. Thank you. Who made that stupid Woken thing that kept popping up every time the video went back to Matt? That shit is stupid.
Bang on.
Thank you. Sheamus still wrestling with spinal stenosis got me worried every time he took a bump from Seth. Like, does the man not care that his career is on the line? It would seem not, if that is the official prognosis. Cesaro versus Roman was actually a good-ass match. Had me on edge every time Cesaro came so close to winning. Oh, please. It's a great match, and they did a good job of selling it, but there's absolutely no way Cesaro is ever going to win anything of relevance in a singles division ever again, because Vince McMahon doesn't like Europeans. So that's how they are playing up the whole Rich Swann thing. His chance at the title has been revoked. Where to keep kayfabe, guys? What do you want them to do? In honour of Rich Swann being arrested this week, we thought you'd like to see Enzo Amore try and batter Nia Jax. No, that's not how this works. Cedric Alexander is getting a push. Yes, yes, and yes. No, he's not. Because Gabba Gulak's coming through. Although I did like the fact that this is basically a war between our two favourite cruiserweights. And me and Smiley are going at it again. Only this time it's in the Raw format. I love it. No. I am not here for this Nia and Enzo love storyline. Hell no. Vince McMahon. Since Finn had a match with Bray Wyatt, brother, last week, let's give him a match with Curtis Axel, that dumb guy with a stupid neck brace. That'll teach that Irish bastard. fair enough. Just turn Jason Jordan heel already. He already is heel. That's the idea. God damn it. It's just a slow burn, isn't it? Like, come on.
Yeah, it's like a soap opera storyline. Not doing it in 1 week. We're going to get it done in 6 or 7 weeks and just have it happen. I actually quite like that as writing. I think that's cool.
Samoa Joe promos are just brilliant. I can listen to that man talk all day. Yeah, no question. All right, I'm a need for creative to figure out what the fuck they are doing to Absolution every week. It's almost the same thing every week. Another Asuka squash match. What else is new? And finally, we get a rare appearance of the Good Brothers. Do we? I didn't see. Did anyone see the? I didn't see the club on this. Did you?
They had a backstage thing with Titus Worldwide.
Oh, that's Cruz, why I asked
that. Titus O'Neil and Dana Brooke, who's now isn't she their new accountant? Titus Worldwide. Who cares?
Accountant slash researcher slash no one gives a flying fuck. We need to whiten up our stable a little bit. Yeah, don't care. that wraps up our interactions. Thank you very much for joining us, guys. Steve Neil, anything to add before we wrap up part one of Week in the Universe?
No, as I say, it was a solid middle-of-the-road Raw, saved by the wrestling content of particularly the men this week, the Shield, Bar, Joe, Dynamic. And I actually quite enjoyed a bit of Jason Jordan this week, so I'm looking forward to seeing what he's going to bring next week, because there was less emphasis on Papa Kurt, more emphasis on JJ.
Oh, yes. Well, that pretty much wraps it up from us, guys. As always, check out all the social media links via the podcast descriptions. Please take part in our polls for the hashtag SmartPlug Year-End Awards, because the more votes we have, then the more fun it is to type them up and see who won your choices for all those special awards involving WWE, NXT, and, of course, NJPW and the Indies, which will have its own dedicated podcast in the Indy 50. And, of course, PvP, I believe, is it Clash of Champions, I believe, is this Sunday, is it not? So, yeah.
Yes.
This Sunday is Clash of Champions, which means we will need your predictions for all the card and, of course, tiebreakers, which will be available on the Twitter Wednesday of this week that it has been released. So please check it out. It always gets released after the SmackDown so that we can ensure the card has been finalized so that things aren't changed last minute. That's why we wait until we do. So get your predictions at the ready and prepare yourself for tiebreakers. You will need to DM them to us, not anything else. You know the score by now. If you don't, please message me or Steve and we will keep you filled in, or message at the Smart Plug itself. Either way, message us if you don't know. Do not just start talking shit. Simple as that, really. And as far as everything else goes, guys, please get involved. Please chat to us. Let us know what you're thinking. If you're enjoying the free part nature of Week in the Universe, which finally we finally completed the trio last week, of course, when Dexter Critchman finally dragged his lazy ass back to work. So if you're liking the free part nature of it, please let us know. Let us know what you think. If there's anything else you want to hear, of course, let us know. Of course, one final thing. We're actually closing in very quickly on episode 100 podcasts from the Smart Plug. I put a little Twitter poll out there, asked you guys what you wanted us to do. You had some options. The one that came back the most was us recapping our favorite moments. If that's what you want, please confirm that with us. Obviously, Steve Neil will get a say in what he'd like to do. We also gave you the options of Q&A, so you could send us in questions of any nature whatsoever, personal or whatever, and we would endeavor to answer those that we felt we could answer, obviously. But there are other options there as well. Maybe you just want business as usual, which in which case we'll just keep bringing you what we do. But either way, we thought it'd be nice to maybe play off and have a little Smark 100 episode, you know, just Smark 100, something like that. But yeah, let us know, guys, what your thoughts on it, what you want to hear. Maybe you have some ideas in the pipeline that weren't involved in the voting poll. The only way we can hear about them is if you tweet us, DM us, email us, and all the usual luck. Steve Neil, thank you very much for joining us for part one of Week in the Universe.
Thank you for having me. Pleasure as always, mate. Looking forward to a bit of SmackDown as well.
Yes, sir. Very much looking forward to discussing the blue brand of Weekend Universe, which, of course, will be out later this week, along with our yellow and purple brand, which, of course, is Dexter Christian and myself covering NXT and 205 Live. Until then, guys, I've been Amira Znay. He's been Steve Neal. And we'll catch you very soon for another podcast from the Smart Plug Galaxy. We are out.
Well, folks, we're all out of time. This is Johnny Gomez saying good fight, good night.